Hi, welcome back. We are going to be talking very interestingly about making business decisions based on the management accounts and financial information you have at hand. For those who've not watched our session on understanding management accounts, make sure you check it out. There's really valuable information in there. I'm Catherine Young, the owner of Thinkroom Consulting, but you know that by now. You should have watched all the videos so far to really grow your business. More importantly, in studio with me, Dana, welcome back.
Thank you, Catherine.
Awesome to have you here. So briefly, just give us an overview of who you are for those who've not met you yet.
My name is Dana Pretorius. I'm a chartered accountant by profession and entrepreneur by heart. I'm also the co-founder and director of a company called Outsource CFO. Outsource CFO is a financial management firm, and we've got a full range of financial management services for SMEs.
And what about my adventure? Tell me about that.
Some of my other passions that I also have, yeah. I like to start businesses. So other company that we've started is a tourism company in that space. And yeah, I just love the outdoors.
So also you're also a serial entrepreneur, right? Awesome. That is absolutely fantastic. So Dana, we're going to be talking today really about business decisions. And I know that there's a piece that you always talk about, financial management to get to business decisions. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Definitely. I think financial management is also very important to understand before we can get to business decisions. So just a little bit on a definition of financial management.
Yeah.
So the core of financial management, yeah, that's actually the business decisions that we have to take in our businesses to grow our business further.
Right.
So that just gives you an idea of financial management.
Right. And an important point, right?
Yes.
Because business decisions are a result of financial management, and the owners of the businesses have the responsibility for both.
Yes.
I get that. So the financial management, very important to get us to business decisions. But now, who needs to make these business decisions, Dana? I mean, because you play so many different roles and there's so many role players.
Yes. I think it's very important to understand sometimes in SMEs, you're the investor, so you've initially put money in the company.
Yeah.
You're also the director because you're working in the company, and also management, so you go and pitch to clients for those deals. So basically, you've got all those different hats on.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're all in one. But it's still very important to distinguish between the different type of individuals that's responsible in any business setup. The first one being obviously the investor,
okay,
is putting money in the business.
Right, right.
Second one is going to be the directors of the business.
Right.
And then lastly, it's going to be management.
Yeah.
Just quickly, management doesn't necessarily have shares in the business and also doesn't necessarily sit on the board of the business.
Yeah.
Quickly, directors versus shareholders,
right,
investors. You might be a director but not have any shareholding in the business. So that just gives you an idea how the duties are split between all these
individuals. I love how you're saying that. It's important for us as SMEs to understand this, because I guess if I just go about my day, as an example, as an SME, I wear so many different hats, like you said, like so many times per day.
Mm.
And I would imagine there is a requirement on us to play every one of those different roles properly.
Definitely.
Right? So I could be an investor if I put money into the business only if I'm not involved in the day-to-day, or I could be an investor and in management and a director.
Definitely.
That's what you're saying, different roles, right? Okay. Anything that you wanted to
add? I think the challenge is for small SMEs, if you're the investor and director and management all in one, then you have to keep yourself accountable for business growth. And so you might be in like in your comfort zone.
Mm.
The thing where you've got separate independent directors and separate shareholders, and then there's always someone else's that pushes you to strive and perform better.
Yeah.
So if you're all those functions in one, keep it in mind that you do have to push yourself to get those returns for the investor, even though the investor might be you.
Maybe you. Mm. That's very interesting. So how do you, so what would your advice be? When do you start board meetings, even if you don't have a real board? I mean, what would your advice be?
I would definitely, if you're a small startup, build your business as if you're a big business and get those controls and standard operating procedures in place. So be kind to yourself and have those monthly sit-downs, even though if it's just you telling yourself, this is some of my risks and concerns, and just minuting it, right? And then you can address them. And then next time you're having a meeting with yourself again, You can even consider getting matter experts into those meetings to give you guidance. And then you've got a track record of what you've put jotted down lastly, and then you can see to what extent you've improved on that. So definitely, if you're on that one, do challenge yourself and do take it seriously, because in the end, it's not only your livelihood, but the other people that you're employing as well.
Yeah, you make a very good point. I know that some SMEs currently are actually, they may be sole props, they may be a PTY, LTD, but with only them in the business as shareholder and director. But what we're finding with a lot of SMEs, not a lot, we're seeing this starting, is that they actually get together as SMEs and create mock boards. And they sit once a month, and every one of the six or seven SMEs present their business and are held accountable by the other entrepreneurs. Do you think that's good?
That's very good. So even though there might be some cross-pollination of what work in other businesses might be applicable to you, so you can really learn a lot from your other SME peers. Other consideration on that as well is befriend legal guys, your legal friends, befriend them and ask for their opinions on it. Befriend your finance guys, let they bring that to the table, you know. Marketing people, befriend them, you know, you can get a lot of input and grow your business like that.
That's sound advice, and we should really be taking note of what Donna's giving to us. Okay, so the first one, the investors. Let's talk about investor decisions.
Brilliant. Okay, hang on, guys. So quickly put on the investor hat.
Yes, exactly.
When you invest and you look at your own financials, one thing that first thing that you're going to do is you're going to page to the cash flow statement and the balance sheet. Quickly look at the balance sheet, you're going to go down all the way to retained income, and you're going to ask yourself, would I be in a position to like get a dividend out of the company? That's what return you get as investor. Another thing, you might look at the balance sheet and ask yourself, hang on guys, this is where we are currently now at, but how does the future look, you know, do we still have that market edge? If not, is it perhaps time for me to take my money out of the business and put it elsewhere, you know? So do we still have the market edge? So I would, as investor, I would really be interested in looking that. Definitely your return on your investment. And then as well, as investor, you want to hold the directors and management accountable of what they're doing with your money. So you want to look at the financials, and you want to be able to see that they are performing because you've actually indirectly appointed them.
Yes, that's interesting. Hey, so for SMEs, as Donna was talking, I was thinking about my own business and the SMEs that we work with. And of course, we put money in, but very often I think we forget the hat of the investor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we slog along and not think about, if I had taken this money and put it somewhere else, would I get the same return? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's in essence what I'm saying.
That is absolutely profound. What about loan accounts? How do you treat loan accounts as part of investments, or don't you?
It all depends. As investor, there's various of ways how you can invest into your business. If you're a shareholder in the business, then obviously you're going to give equity in the business. Okay. Now, equity in a business doesn't need to be repaid back to you as investor. It's money that's in the business, right? Now, there might be other ways how you can get your shareholding. You might say, listen, I'll loan you money in the business at very affordable rates in exchange for shares in the business. In that instance, you will also become an investor, but you know, the money in the business is not equity, it's basically a loan, and the company needs to repay that over time to you. And then you can obviously get hybrid investment, which is a combination of the two, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Okay. Now, with the investor hat off, we're going to put management hat on. Talk to us about management decisions.
Right. Okay, management. You're employed by this amazing business, you're working in this SME, and you have a board of directors that you are accountable for. You're responsible for sales in the business, and you now need, you run the sales reports. As management, you want to know how your products are performing. You want to look at your management reports and see, listen, I've got four products, three of them is making money, the fourth one isn't making money. Why is that? Isn't it rather time to stop selling that product and rather focus on the other three? If we were to focus on the other three, if I throw in more marketing in those three products, would I be able to get better sales on them, you know. So as manager, you know you're going to be held accountable on the performance of your division on the business. So some of the decisions that you're going to make when looking at the management report are quite different than the investor's outlook. So you might want to know what's break even. Difficult concept, but in essence it comes down to how many quantities of these different products do I need to sell to cover my overheads, you know. And there's a lot of other aspects that you want to look to as management as well.
So to follow Dana, to summarize where we are at the moment in this session is we have different roles in the business.
Definitely.
And to make business decisions, the financial management is important. And depending on the role you play, you will evaluate the financial performance through the management account in different ways. That's what you actually say.
Definitely.
Okay, I really get that. So as managers in the business and as SMEs, we often play that role of SME being the manager and the investor, as we said. We then will look at the same results or the same reports in a different way to evaluate our break-even point or our profitability from the different streams, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and then the lenders. Talk to us about those.
Now, the lenders is a situation where you as business have borrowed money from someone who's lending it to you. So when you look to the financials as a lender, you are considering, hang on, before I'm giving my money to you, I want to know what's the risk in your business. Would you be able to repay back the interest on my loan that I'm giving you? Do you have assets that I can use as security for if you default on the loan, that I can at least take some of your assets just as security for me because I am giving you a lot of money? So as a lender, lenders might be family and friends. It might even be a financial institution like a bank. A lot of them are looking at your financials, and it's very good advice to always have a strong balance sheet when going to banks to leverage from those debt.
And can you explain solvency position to me?
Brilliant. Now, solvency is more the longer term outlook of your business performance.
Right.
So that is actually, when discussing solvency, you need to discuss liquidity as well. So
right.
That's a two that ways of determining your business turnaround, or to what extent can your business be sold and your assets be sold in a specific period of time. So
right.
Liquidity is more like within a 12-month period.
Right.
So a bank would look at liquidity for interest repayments.
Right.
And solvency is more long-term outlook. So
okay.
For instance, if a financial institution, a bank, has given you money, loaned you money,
yeah.
And it's like for 10 years or so, and then they're not only interested in your performance for the next year, they're also interested on what your position and to be able to perform in the next 9 years, because that's a term period of their loan.
Yeah. And how do they measure the solvency?
Solvency, there's ways how they use ratios.
Okay.
That we basically take those management reports and they take ratios to calculate that. But in essence, it's your assets compared to your liabilities and your equity to get like an idea of what's your ratio of that. Then they compare it to different business in your industry to see if you're on track with that. And to get a better idea of what your solvency is.
And then I would imagine liquidity the same.
Yes.
Also ratios.
Definitely.
And typically what do they look at there?
So for liquidity, you would get like current assets, which is your stock, your debtors and your cash, compared to your current liabilities. Current is everything of short term of nature. So then you would compare your current assets with your current liabilities, and then you get an idea of your liquidity of the business.
Yeah. Where were you in my last year of school? Honestly, I would have done much better. Okay, I really understand that. So let's take an example of a fundraising decision.
Right, brilliant. So a lot of entrepreneurs and SMEs struggle with raising funds for their business. Now, it's very important to recognize that there's various ways for you to get funding. Now, if you're considering to put in your own money into the business, obviously you're the investor self. So there's a few questions you have to ask before putting in your own money. First thing is, do you have the money to put in the business? Obviously, if you don't have, then that's not an option. Okay. Let's quickly look if you were to borrow funds, if you were to incur debt in your business. Big thing for SMEs, what they don't realize is most of these, funds that they borrow, they've got like interest rates on them. And you have to repay those interests and not default on them. So if your business model if it doesn't really, if you don't generate cash flow in your business more than the first year or 3 years, then you will never be in a position to have cash flow to repay the debt. Yeah. So obviously you need to match the right funding to your business, yeah, to your business capabilities.
Yeah.
Then lastly, you can offer someone shareholding in your business, and they can obviously invest in your business like that. Very important. Or you want to get the right partner before you give away shareholding. You don't want someone just to give you money and they're dead weight in your business. Mm. You must ask yourself, what networks do they have for you to tap in? What expertise are they bringing into the business? Mm. How deep are their pockets? To what extent can they give you future rounds of funding in your business? And what's your relationship with them? You know, if you don't get along personally, then you're not going to get along in the business as well.
I fully agree with you. It's such good advice that Donna is giving, and this is very important. And we find this with many SMEs that we work with from a mentoring point of view, not on the financial mentoring, but on the business mentoring, is that the partners that you choose, it's a long-term decision.
Definitely.
And I don't know if you find the same, we so often find SMEs, because they're so desperate for the cash.
Yeah.
They just give away huge portions of equity.
Yeah.
Without truly understanding the impact of what they're
Definitely.
Doing. The match with the partner is maybe not right, the equity dilution is not right, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, I understand that. So in terms of fundraising decisions, there are three possible ways of getting funds: your own money, borrowed money, or perhaps a funding partner. And the example that we have on screen at the moment can give you a very good understanding of how you should be doing that. Qualitative in terms of quantitative decisions.
Brilliant. So that's the fun stuff. So I might be a little bit more left brain. So that's where quantitative decisions come
from. Right.
So quantitative is anything that has to do with financials, the figures. So when you have to make a decision and you look at the figures, you can see, hang on, yes, we do have money. Yes, we can buy this this vehicle. That's like a quantitative decision that you make.
Mm.
But taking on an equity partner, and that might be a qualitative decision, you know. Qualitative is all the non-financial stuff. Mm. It's like the soft stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, he has a lot of money that he can invest in your business, but something in your gut tells me he's not the right person qualitatively. Or he has other businesses which is a little bit in conflict with what you're doing. All of those are like qualitative considerations.
Yeah.
Both quantitative and qualitative factors need to be incorporated when making an informed business decision.
Yeah. I fully agree with you. And especially the point you made on the gut feel.
Yeah.
I think too many of the SMEs, myself included, we don't go on that gut feel.
Yeah.
If the gut says it's wrong, it's wrong, right? And we learn very expensive lessons because we don't follow the gut all the time. So I completely agree with you. Employment decisions.
Brilliant. So a lot of the clients that I'm working with, a lot of them are small, and you also might be in that situation. That decision, that first decision that you're making as a business owner to do your first employment, that's a difficult and tough decision, you know. Someone is going to work at your offices and work there. So before making a decision like that, you need to ask yourself, hang on, can I employ someone full time? Or can I just outsource this and perhaps use a sales rep for this function? So in this session, I just want to quickly abbreviate a little bit more on some of the advantages of employment. So let's say you employ someone, brilliant, and you get along. You know, it's someone that keeps your company and works there at your offices. Perhaps you're thinking of letting him buying into your business. It might be a nice way to get another equity partner in the business. If you're doing a lot of IP and in-house secrets, trading secrets, then you've got someone employed. They basically, they won't share that to other people because they know they're employed in you as well. And another thing of having someone employed in your business, a busy owner, it's very good to have a resource, a human resource that you trust that can get stuff done when it needs to happen. So that's just some of the advantages of employment.
Disadvantages.
Now, obviously,
don't get me started.
Obviously, it's a little bit more tricky when you have to employ someone full time. So some of the disadvantages of employment might be that, hang on, that guy is going to sit there at your office. He's going to drink your coffee and milk. He's going to need a desk, which is going to be a cash outflow. You need to get a desk for him. If he's working on a laptop and he has it in his own, you as a business really need to provide that to him. If you're not getting along that well and you want to perhaps think of going your separate ways, that part of getting retrenching him, that's also very difficult depending on the labor law
of the country,
that you are. So there's a lot of considerations there at disadvantages as well when considering when employing someone.
Fully agree. In experience, the actual salary that you pay someone, I don't know if you have similar rates and we can debate that, but what we found in experience is the salary is only one component of the cost. It's at least 30 to 40% more. So if I pay somebody $10,000 a month, it actually means they're costing me $10,000 to them and then another 30 to 40% to keep them in the business, to keep them with a laptop, with the lights on and have the coffee and tea and milk and the traveling, et cetera, et cetera. And we find it very interesting that so many SMEs, when they just start employing, they employ because they employ what they can afford. So they don't necessarily employ the right people or the people they would like in the business because it's a budgeting thing. It's a financial thing. But we've also found on the other side of it that the first 10 employees of the business determine the culture of that business for a long time to come. And it's about balancing that. Don't know if you found similar things.
I would say the rule of thumb when considering to employ someone and you've got a certain budget for salary, ask yourself, is that person going to make three times what you're paying out to him? He needs to bring in money or enable you to have enough time to bring in money to cover his salary, to cover overhead, and as well to have some profit left over for you as investor to get a return in it. So that's just basically the rule of thumb.
Love that. I absolutely love that. So remember that, SMEs, when you bring somebody in, I know that three times the rate is good. Some consulting firms, if you're in consulting and services, go up to four times the rate. And we call it as easy as that. If you're not four times billable, you know, you should get somebody who can be four times billable. Dana, that's been most interesting. I really loved the session a lot. For the viewers, we have two resources there that you can go check out. Make sure to go to outsourcedcfo.co.za's website. There's really some very interesting topics there that you can go and read on funding your business as well as dividends or salaries, et cetera, et cetera. We'd love to have you in studio. For those of you who have tuned in, thank you very much. Make sure to listen to all four sessions with Dana Pretorius. Until next time, goodbye.